men, our peoples.
Welcome back. Okay, I'm not gonna sing this time.
Yep, I beg, please. We have suffered enough.
I never liked you.
Yvonne has sung our ears until they bled. So
bless you.
So yes, I have a proverb for the day.
The proverb of the day. Okay, tell us.
A twig can never become a crocodile, no matter how long it stays in the river.
Chai. So you're wet and you're just floating about, but you have no bite.
That is not it.
No, I'm just that. Because the twig is there in the river and it's acting, it's flowing, and he thinks it's a crocodile.
Just because it's hanging out with the crocodile, it will never become a crocodile. So ultimately, he's saying that no matter how long you pretend to be anything other than who you are, your true character will reveal itself.
Okay, the episode is over. If you people did not get your life from that, there's nothing else we have for you.
Let me explain.
Say that again. No, like seriously, say what you just said again.
A twig can never become a crocodile, no matter how long it stays in the river. And what that means is, no matter how long you pretend to be anything other than who you actually are, your true character will eventually reveal itself.
So you might as well just be who you are. It's cheaper to be you.
But here's the thing,
though.
It's
better to be you.
A lot of people don't know who they are anymore.
Hey, soul searching. Because so many people like are trying to be so many other things.
And also, because of things that we might have gone through when we were kids or just our life experiences, we've been told that who we are is no longer good enough. So we need to show up as somebody else.
That's unfortunate, and that's the lie of the enemy.
This is also why this episode is about therapy.
Because
I feel like therapy really helps you unpack who you are.
Unpack, process. Because so many of us don't ask ourselves the leading questions to get the answers. Some of us do because we're reflective. But that's what therapy is. Therapy is literally somebody being like, hey, why do you think that?
Mm-hmm.
And you're like, I mean, I didn't think that was anything.
Yeah.
No. But that has a root. Because everything has a root. Like, there's the reason why you like action movies.
Mm-hmm.
There's a root for that. Maybe you grew up watching G.I. Joe as a kid.
There's a reason why you don't like I don't like horror movies.
Why don't you like horror movies?
Because when I was little, I would be hanging out with my older sister, my cousins, and they loved horror movies like Poltergeist and like Hellraiser. And because I was with them in the house, it was either I sat there and watched a horror movie with them or go to another room by myself, which because I just watched a horror movie, I was too afraid to do that. So now as an adult, I refuse to watch horror movies.
See,
I'm like...
And it's one thing to know the root. If it's a good root, if it's an okay root, because that's just a personal choice or whatever, then you keep it as that. But if it's a root that needs to be addressed and or uprooted, then that's when like therapy helps you like, hey... Let's figure this out.
Yep. And I think it's important for us to talk about therapy, too, because as Africans, Africans don't talk about mental health issues, don't talk about therapy. Which kind of therapy? When you have prayer.
There's somebody in your family that's depressed right now.
What? Like, deeply.
He's just a dunce.
He's just sad.
He's just a dunce.
I don't know why you're sad.
He's not doing well in school because he's a dummy. No.
You're like, no.
Maybe there's, something else happening.
Yeah, like a lot of you actually wanted us to touch on like mental health and things like that, but we thought therapy was a good entry point because people think about therapy as like, oh my gosh, where you go to just go lay on the couch. Like on a couch as a shrink hypnotizes you.
I'm like, what movies have they been watching?
So too many movies.
Or even therapy is just like, oh, that's some white people stuff.
That's some white people
stuff.
Because
black people go to church.
Right.
You know, and Africans just get over it.
So for you we're both like Christians, how do you relegate? What role does prayer play? What role does therapy play?
I think they all have their place. Like my therapist is not a Christian. He doesn't identify with a religion. But I can handle that because I have enough, relationship with Jesus in me. I have enough people that can give me counsel from the Christian perspective.
Yeah.
And then now I just want somebody that can give me counsel as, like, hey, listen here, black man.
Yeah.
Because I actually got a black male therapist.
We'll talk about that separately later.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of people struggle with the fact that, like, they're like, oh, my gosh, am I insulting God by going to therapy?
No, what you're doing is you have to have balance in your life. Because some people who know Jesus still don't do what Jesus tells them to do.
Correct.
And, like, are still, regardless of therapy, are still living beneath their God-given potential and purpose because they're afraid. So therapy can be like, why are you afraid?
Yep.
If you, like, my thing is, like, especially, listen, don't come at me with your I love Jesus. You love Jesus, then why aren't you doing better? Why aren't you doing more? Why aren't you going further? Oh, because I'm afraid. Or because, like, I just don't know. Then you don't trust Jesus.
Then, and also, didn't Jesus invent the tools that allow us to cope for life better? Didn't Jesus technically invent the man who was then the therapist? So I always struggle when Christians are like,
and then I mean, and then they're Christian therapists. So then it's just like there are people who are Christians that are therapists.
Yeah.
And so it's just like the reality is, at some point in our life, and it won't be, it's not, and I think also too, like, I think therapy has gotten a bad rap in terms of, like, it's a lifelong thing. Mm-hmm. It's like, because the objective of therapy is hopefully to get to a place where either you don't need it or you don't need it as much.
Yeah.
And so it's not supposed to be a crutch. It's not supposed to be like a, all right, same time, same week for the next 27 years. You know? Like, it's supposed to be like, great, I came in here with an issue. We have resolved that issue. Okay, is there something else now that we've unpacked that? Did that, pulling that, you know, string, did it lead to something else that we need to unpack? Or, like, in this area, you feel very stable and feel okay to now maybe take a break from therapy. Like, it's just, it's not what it used to be where it's just like, man, I feel like it's just a waste of money because I'm going to be there for, it's a life sentence.
No, it's not. Like, I think a lot of people think about therapy in terms of this thing that you do when you need it, as opposed to maintenance. Mm. I think of therapy as like cardio for your mind.
Ooh, look at you.
Right? Because I think it's like, you know, we go to the gym to go get our bodies together.
We go to
church for our spirits and our hearts. Then what about your actual mind?
Listen, we go to Jiffy Lube every 3,000 miles.
For all change. It is all change for your mind, yo.
Yo, that's, you know what? Me and Lovey are now marketers. So we will market your therapy. Oil change for your mind.
Yeah,
it's trademarked. You can't get it.
That's it. Because I'm just like, I just wish more of us would take the stigma away from it. Because in the Black community, in the African community, this like, no, would pray it away, or this, I don't want to tell other people my business.
I don't think, dirty laundry.
Dirty laundry.
It's not dirty laundry. But you can actually get help. Somebody can actually help you see your blind spots. And the other thing, too, is like, there are so many things that the generation before us showed us.
Yeah.
Some things were phenomenal.
Yeah.
Some things were not.
So unhealthy.
And what's going to happen is that stuff gets perpetuated.
Yeah.
If you don't stop in the tracks of those things that were, like, subconsciously or consciously sent to you, you will go on thinking that this is normal.
Yeah.
What therapy does is unearth and reveal and, like, point those things back to you and be like, hey, do you think that there's a trend in your relationships?
Yeah.
You think there's a trend in how you treat people, in how you believe more for yourself or less for yourself? Like, these are all, like, rooted in something.
But think about sometimes we find ourselves hitting roadblocks in life, and we're just like, I don't know why things aren't going well for me. I don't know why I keep getting fired from this job. I don't know why I keep losing the people who I love. Like, as friends, they stop talking to me. To be quite honest, a lot of times we carry terrible habits that we don't know we have.
Yo,
we're selfish, we're thoughtless. And honestly, therapy will be like, hey, ask yourself this question. And you'd be like, wait a minute, is it me? Sometimes it's us.
And here's the thing. But when you are a self-introspective person, you can say, man, it is me. Oh, man, I got to change. What some people say is, well, that's just me. That's just me.
That's just me.
And my pastor used to say, who is the person that you call me, and what are you allowing me to keep you from?
Oh, stop it. Do it again. Say that again.
Who is the person you call me, and what are you allowing me to keep you from? Because it's like, people will just, like, go through life like, well, that's just me. I mean, yeah, I mean, whatever. Like, it's cool. I don't really need a whole bunch of friends because that's just me. No. Every time you lose a friend, you got to figure out, like, what is the limited reactant? What is the lowest common denominator? Well, like, how did this happen? Like, what can I change? Like, I remember I was bullied. Like, I was bullied from third grade to eighth grade. Bullied. I didn't really start making friends until, like, I went to all-girls boarding school. And even at that, I didn't really know how to be a friend.
Right.
Then college, because in high school, I was like, oh, man, I got friends now. And so, like, you can be my, like... Like, I need to be your only friend, because if you find somebody else, you may find that you like that person better, and then, like, I'll be back to being, like, by myself again. And then college, it was like, I got saved, and I realized, like, oh, like, I'm okay. Like, it's okay because I have thoughts, and I have, like, things to contribute, and so that's what makes me a good friend. And if somebody doesn't like my thoughts or the things I contribute, it doesn't mean that I'm not a good person. It just means that maybe we shouldn't be friends. Like, you know what I mean? And so, but I thought, I'm grown. This was, like, maybe 4 years ago, and I'll never forget, I got in a situation, and I didn't realize the scab of
bullying
was still fresh. I thought the wound had healed.
Nope.
And I reacted in such a visceral way, because my spirit was like, I recognize this. This is being bullied. And, like, they're not going to win again. Because for me, the bullies won.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, I would go to school and my mom was like, they're just jealous of you. No, they're not. They're not jealous of me, buddy. They actually have friends that they eat Lunchables with at lunchtime. Like, I'm by myself. And so I felt like, oh, man, I could never, like, regain my power from these people.
Yeah.
And so now in a situation that wasn't necessarily the same situation, but I noticed the traits of it. And so I reacted as if it was me being bullied. And it was just like, that's something you have to, like, realize, like, wait, where else has this come up? Like, I thought I was doing good. And the reality is, you can be doing good in a lot of areas of your life, but there might be a scab.
I think about it as, like, our life experiences are tiny paper cuts.
Ooh.
Because think about the time you got bullied. The first time, it was probably like a small paper cut. Second time, somebody else sliced. Before you know, there's a wound, right? But we spend our whole lives not realizing that we're carrying this wound. We never let it heal. And I think about therapy as, one, you will have to face some of these things that you didn't have to in the past. And also, it gives you the permission to, like, dig through it and actually hurt for a second.
But people don't like hurting.
Yeah, that's the part.
And people don't like dig. The problem with change is, once you notice a change, you have to change.
Once you know you have to change, you have to change.
And, like, that's hard for people, because it's just like, do I have the tools to change? Do I want? And the thing is, like, knowing that if you change, your life could actually be better. Like, you won't have to go through the same rigmarole. Like, my man, the same rigmarole.
Rigmarole.
That's a cycle of confusion every day of your life. But change is so. And also, some people like the cycle of defeat.
Because some people define themselves with defeat.
It's like how people, like, always want to tell you all their hurts and pains.
Yeah.
My arthritis is acting up my back. Because, like, if you take away the reaction that people give to you, oh, no.
What do you have?
Sorry. Then it's like, well, if I'm healthy, then people will just treat me like I'm healthy.
Treat me like a fully formed human being.
No, but I like it when people feel bad for me. Because when they feel bad for me, then, you know, then I can get away with this.
And that's the kind of stuff that, honestly, like, I would say, you be telling them. Whenever I sit in my therapist's chair, the first thing she just asks is, so what's come up for you? What's up with you? And where I'll just start talking. It's not like I have any type of business that I went in for to be like, here's what's paining me today. Sometimes I'm just sitting there talking and she's like, stop there. Let's talk about that. And it'll be something that feels very mundane.
Mm-hmm.
And then by the time we finish talking about it, I'm like, dang, so that's why I don't like doing that one particular thing. Just the idea that, one, we carry these unhealthy habits, right, that we don't know about.
Mm-hmm.
But my thing is, sometimes I see it in business, is how much we carry those into every room we're in.
Mm-hmm.
Our traumas into, I'm talking every room. So think about it. The person who, let's say, at your job, somebody ate their sandwich. And they're flipping out.
Yeah.
And you're just like, it's an easy mistake. You didn't label the sandwich. And they're just like, who ate my sandwich? This is why I do not bring anything. And you're like, wonder why they're flipping out.
Mm-hmm.
It might be because this person, when they were younger, they didn't know when their next meal would be coming from. So for them, that sandwich was not just
It's
not about the sandwich. But it's that type of stuff that I wonder if we were more proactive about going to therapy, that we would know, that we walk into rooms with.
And even if you're like, maybe it's not therapy, but being more proactive to being aware and open to discuss with people who aren't yes friends, to discuss with people who are like, yeah, girl. Because some people have therapists in their friends group that can be like, no, actually, what you did was trashy.
Yeah.
That person who hears what you did was trashy was like, you just jealous of me. Like, this is why we can't be, this is why black girls can't be friends with other black girls. Because, and it's just like, no. If you stop and took time to be like, wait, was it trashy? Like, what about, like, what about it felt trashy? Because this is what, this is what I've always done. And so maybe I don't know, like, I don't consider it trashy, but what did you consider it to be trashy?
Yeah.
Like, even, that's pre-therapy therapy. But so many people are just like, she's just a hater. No, everybody's actually not a hater.
Right. Everybody is not a hater. It's not just always everybody.
Somebody may be trying to point to your deficiencies and or your insecurities or your shortcomings. And just because you point to them doesn't, and it's exposed, doesn't mean you're a bad person. It means this area of your life might need to be improved. I remember, girl, Jesus wept. I was the biggest procrastinator.
Oh.
Like, it was almost, it was a disease. No, it was like, it was legit, it was a disease. I had to write a term paper about procrastinating.
And you procrastinated
and
on
I
that.
And I procrastinated on it, of and I turned it did. In late. My teacher was like, do you just not want to pass?
Dang.
And I was in college.
Mm-hmm.
It was a problem. I had to hit rock bottom so much so that I found myself crying in the bathroom when something happened. Don't worry, it's going to be in the book. I found myself crying in the bathroom because I was just like, how did we get here? And I had to take the steps to be like, this is how you change.
Yeah.
Because other people's times are important too. And what are you saying about your respect for people when you do this?
Yeah, man. Okay, so when did you start going to therapy?
This year. So it's new for me.
So what made you start going?
I wanted to go because it was like adulting. Because I was like, I'm 35 years old. I have a new house. I've reached a certain level of success. I, like, have this relationship that I'm in. And I want to just make sure that everything's running like a well-oiled machine. It wasn't necessarily, like, an inciting incident. For me, it was just like, hey, listen, I think I'm good in a lot of areas, but I never shrink from an area of trying to be better. So it's like, even if you're good, and what's funny is like, when I was in therapy, my therapist was like, yeah, you're very self-aware. I was like, I know, right? And, but then like, even though like I knew myself, I remember one time he asked me a question. And I was like, oh, I never thought about, like, it literally, it was just like, cause you know, when you're constantly thinking and you're like flowing, you're like, and this is why I think this. And like, okay, I'm very fully aware that this is where this is stemming from. Now my question is like, how do I move past this? Or like, whatever. And then when he said, when he asked me what he asked me, I was like, subconsciously. And of course it's all the things subconsciously.
Everything's subconscious.
That,
subconscious,
like, everything. He was like, do you think subconsciously that this is the reason why this? And I was like, and you have to stop and think, like, maybe. I wasn't even aware. Like, I didn't know. And but then, like, once I peeled back the layer, I was like, you know what? He's not wrong. Okay, so now what do I do with this?
Man. So I started doing therapy 2.5 years ago, and success drove me to therapy.
Mm-hmm.
I was getting more successful. And here's the thing is, I realized I needed a better toolbox to handle success.
First of all, can you pause right there? Y'all, the toolbox is so important because so many people are hiding under the toolbox that their parents gave them, the toolbox that they grew up with, the toolbox that they've seen their friends. No, guys. In a toolbox, there are many tools. Exchange the ones that aren't working. If you're trying to use a star screwdriver for a flat nail, you need another tool.
Yeah.
You need another tool. So just because all you're working with right now is a star, it don't mean that that's the only tool you'll ever work with. It means, like, go get another tool and add that to your toolbox. And it may feel weird trying to figure out how to work it, but you know what? You're trying to get this nail in.
Mm-hmm.
And you're going to keep frustrating yourself.
Nail's wholeness.
you're frustrating yourself because you're working with the wrong tools. You're never too old to add new tools to your toolbox.
That's it. We're supposed to have a variety of tools, right? So a lot of us will say, well, I journal. And that might be good enough for you. Some people will be like, hey, I do meditation. Some people will say, I take medication, which is also sometimes necessary for people who are like, who have any type of depression or any type of like real mental illness that requires medication, right? But like, therapy is just another tool. For me, I was just like, I'm getting more successful. I don't think I have my toolbox that's clear, and I feel like I should get this thing in my arsenal. So I started going to therapy. Because to be quite honest, success does mess with you.
It does.
When you've been so used to not having certain yes. things. So the influx, abundance will mess with you, mm-hmm. right? Because you'd be like, what am I supposed to do? I remember when I first got my place, I freaked out for like a month.
Girl, I'm still freaking out.
My therapist had to like, let's unpack this. And she was like, oh, you're just not you. We realized that I wasn't used to having so much space. And
wow.
it made me feel like I went too big.
Because your house is big. Your house is a palatial palace. Like, you have a whole basement. You have a whole finished basement. There's a theater room, and then there's a hallway with multiple rooms. I was like, I got lost. How I get lost in your house?
And I freaked out. My therapist had to walk me through it over months because I was just like, I feel like it's too big for me. I feel like I did too much. I feel like I should have gone smaller.
But this is what we prayed for. This is what
you
hope for.
Right? So it gave me perspective. And I think for me, having that was clear. I mean, I could be journaling, but sometimes you need a human that reflects you back to you.
To process it.
To reflect it back to you. And for me, like, that was important. And I think about sometimes, some of our mistakes is we think our pastors are our therapists.
Oh, wait. You people, you're going to have to replay this episode 3 times. We think our pastors.
Oh, we do think our pastors are our
therapists. I thought you said we think our past is our therapist.
We actually do, actually. That's actually a good point.
Because so many people let their past dictate
everything.
Everything about their life.
Everything. You think because you went through struggle, you're supposed to stay in struggle.
Yo, somebody asked me the other day, like, what's been the biggest challenge in success?
Yeah.
And I was like, running out? Mm. Like, feeling like the same God that brought it to me when I didn't even ask for it, now feeling like I got to do the work to keep it. I got to hustle to get it.
Not knowing the grace was sufficient, because there's no amount of work you really could do.
No.
Certain things just come to you because of grace.
And favor. And realizing, like, your job is not to recreate it. Your job is to maintain it.
Maintain
and be a good
it.
Steward of it.
But related, though, like, our pastors are not a therapy. I feel like a lot of people are in therapy because of their pastors. Because
there's been a lot of church hurt.
Church hurt and just... I mean, here's the thing is religion has done a lot of damage to people, which is why some people struggle with spirituality. It's two different things. Your relationship with God mm-hmm. is your spirituality. Your religion is a church you're going to.
And also there's like relationship
yeah.
with Jesus. So many people are like, oh, are you religious? I'm like, I have a relationship with God.
Correct.
Because having a relationship with somebody, you have a relationship with a whole fiance.
Yeah.
Y'all go through gangster times, but you're like, but that's my dude though.
Right.
And I love him and I know like we can weather this storm.
Right.
God can handle you being mad at him.
Right.
And he can get mad and frustrated with you. Like, I done told you several times, don't go around that same situation again. Please don't call that dude. Please don't call that girl. Why are you? Okay. So.
But then we think, again, I really think it's an important piece because I think about how much people have heard that who they are is not good enough or worthy of grace from pastors, from bad shepherds.
Wow.
Who, some people are in therapy today because of their pastors.
I can for sure believe that.
Be clear that your pastor is not your therapist. He can be your counselor.
Or even
go to an actual therapist.
But also some of the congregation. Because everybody that goes to church does not have everybody's best interest at heart.
Right. Because humans can be trash.
Love you. What are you thinking about right now? Because humans can be trash.
They can be trash.
But it's just like... And my thing, I love my church. I feel like it's very important to have community. I love going. I love praise and worship. I love sitting under and hearing a good word.
Praise and worship is good.
But at the same time, you like discernment. And there are some people, I mean, it happened in Jesus' time. So it's not, this is not something new. People were taking the, like, the law and trying to, like, suppress other people.
Yep.
And that's why Jesus was like, I override the law. Mm. I am the way, the truth, and the life.
Oof.
Like, that's why he can say that, because he's like, no, because y'all are trying to use the law to keep people in bondage. That's not why I came.
So some people use the Bible to keep people in bondage.
Exactly. That the law was the law of religion at that time. They even said to Jesus, hey, if you perform a miracle on the Sabbath, it's like, Jesus was like, hey, listen, what are we talking about here? Did somebody get healed? Yeah. So you are more concerned about the day that they got healed than the fact that they are now have their healing. You too concerned with the wrong thing. Mm. And that's what people use to, like, break people. Oh, no. If you're going to be a Christian, you got your skirt.
You gotta
got
to do this.
Be, your skirt
you
got to be
this.
Down. You can't wear this. And you can't do that. And it's just
you
like,
can't
hey.
Wear makeup. Oh.
What?
Yeah.
And it's just like, hey, but can I love Jesus? And can I love people? Can I do that? Can I please do that? Because I think that's the driving factor.
Yeah. But I think, so I think about the fact that I know therapy is not, like, easily available to a lot of people.
And also, when you do want to have it on your insurance, they have to diagnose you with something.
Really? That's, on your insurance?
If you wanted to have therapy paid for through your insurance, the therapist has to diagnose.
Not all of them. Some will actually allow therapy, like, therapy services, some good insurance, some good private insurance will allow you to go to therapy and pay for it. Mine doesn't. So I have to pay for it.
Some, I know from, like, the ones here, and I've heard it from other people, that, like, and it, they have to diagnose you with something, like, really basic. Like, it can be, like, you know, childhood trauma. You know, like, that could be, like, whatever. But, like, I know some people just don't want anything on their record because it's just, like, I don't want to have something on my record. But I do know that there's some people, I think, like, SAG, like, the union for acting,
yeah.
I think it provides, like,
it
free
should,
therapy.
It should, because actors need it. Jesus knows. Y'all actors need it.
How you gonna cover a whole
listen,
class of people? Because y'all actors is crazy. Olivia, I'm right here.
You know
here.
What? Anybody who's creative, odds are.
For sure.
We need therapy more. Listen.
And anybody who's a person.
Who's a person?
Because the reality is, stuff happens.
Life happens.
Stuff happens. Like, even if you have a good, even if you had a good upbringing, there's still something that happened in your life that is making you process. I know people who are too nice. You got to go to therapy for that.
Because why are you always trying to please everybody? You got to figure out what the root is. And honestly, for the people who actually need to go to therapy, the ones who are going through, like, real issues. And I mean, everyone has real issues, but, like, there are people who are carrying deep traumas of abuse and who have anxiety, who have depression, who are afraid to go because they're afraid of people thinking they are crazy for going. Mm-hmm. Like, I remember I was talking about therapy and somebody messaged me and was like, oh my God, I really love how open you are. Because I sometimes will take a picture after I walk out of therapy. Mm-hmm. Just be like, Therapy Tuesday, because I want to normalize the fact that I'm going to therapy. And this woman was like, I really want to go, but I'm afraid to go. Because dirty laundry, right? Because we're so afraid of telling other people.
Yeah, they signed an NDA. Like, not an NDA.
I literally had to tell her.
They signed a confidentiality.
Oath or something like that. Like, I was like, your therapist is legally obligated to keep what you say between y'all two. Like, as in, your therapist can't even, what is the word? They can't even,
Tell people that you're
testify
seeing you.
Against you or something like that. Yeah. Like, therapist
unless you're, like, suicidal. Like,
yeah,
like
therapist can't even in court, they have to be subpoenaed.
Yeah.
So they are literally the most confidential person that you can go to.
And, I mean, the reality is, like, I for sure went into my therapist's office. Like, I wasn't like, I don't know if you know who I am. It was just like, so here's what I'm talking about. And knowing good and well, if anybody is anybody good, they'll Google, like, who's this person? Like, who am I coming to see? And I did not care. And, of course, you're sharing stuff. And it's like, eventually, it's just like, oh, this person is...
Is that?
Is this person. And I was just like, and this is what I'm experiencing. How can you help? Because it's like, there's no shame. Like, it's like, you're also doing yourself a disservice if you go to somebody for help and you're like, and you just, let me keep it to myself. Let me keep
like your character in Insecure.
Yeah,
when
Molly did. Don't let her find out that there was a whole man you were having a whole affair with.
Yo, Molly was showing up to therapy and being like, I don't know if I can tell. Listen, let me tell you, the person who's not been to therapy. When you are sitting in therapy, the person who's sitting across from you, this is not your mama, It's not your sister. It's not your pastor. They don't owe you nothing. You don't owe them nothing.
You do owe them
that
payment.
But you owe them truth.
You owe them that payment.
You owe them payment. And since you owe them the payment, you might as well tell them the truth while you're there.
Yes.
Like, tell them the truth. It's not going to be easy. I remember my first couple of sessions. She was like, talk to me. And I'd be like, I'll tell her real surface stuff. It takes some time to build some of the trust.
Let's talk about our very first therapy
first
session.
Sessions. Okay, so I think
it's funny.
So my therapist is a black woman. Uh-huh. She's a black woman who I can't tell how old she is because you know how black women age.
It don't crack.
Because she could be anywhere between 40 and 70, and I have no clue. She also happens to be somebody who doesn't use the internet much.
Great.
And I love that because I'll walk in there and I'll be like, oh my God, this thing is happening on Twitter. And she'd be like, what's the Twitter? And she'll write down, and it always gives me perspective because I'm always like, my world is not the whole world. Because she literally be like, "What's the? Oh, I think I have a Facebook account." My first therapy session, I went in after some like, I think people were talking crazy about me online or something like that, and I was just like, it freaked me out, and she's just like, "Okay, talk to me more about that. Why does this matter?" She just asked me matter-of-fact questions. Mm-hmm. And I walked out of there being like, oh, I thought the whole world was talking about me.
No.
And meanwhile, she's just like, who? Oh, wow. So tell me, how did that make you feel? As somebody who, I'm not one who's, I'm a real Jew, moves in silence. I'm not the girl who's always calling people and like, let me tell you my problems today.
Mm-hmm.
So it was unnatural to sit down and ultimately have to talk about my problems.
Yeah.
But realizing that that's also something, right?
Why are you that person?
That lack of vulnerability, having to unpack that and being like, oh, it's because Nigerians also don't do vulnerability well as a culture.
What? So did they tell me their own business?
Exactly.
So what am I going to tell them my own business? It's like,
correct. So we don't do vulnerability well at all. And it shows up in how we all operate in general. And then you walk in therapy and you realize you don't even have the words to speak about your pain.
Mm-hmm.
Because you've never had to do it.
It wasn't in your toolbox.
It was not in your toolbox. So then you have to build it up. You have to build up the muscle. So yeah, my black woman therapist, I love her. Her name is, funny enough, her name is Yvonne.
Hey, Auntie Yvonne.
Auntie Yvonne.
You see, you just have your covered all around. All
her
the
name
Yvonne,
is Yvonne, actually.
All the Yvonnes in your life.
All the Yvonnes.
Filled with wisdom.
Yeah, they are. Yeah. They really are. Fine people. So who's yours?
My guy, I wanted to have a black guy.
Yeah.
Because I was dealing with a black guy.
Yeah.
And I remember somebody told me, before that they had different therapists based on what they were going through. So it was like when they were dealing with their spouse, they had a black female.
Mm.
When they were dealing with, you know, work, they had like a man or like whatever. Like they just had different things because they wanted different perspectives.
Mm.
Because, and I was just like, or when they were dealing with themselves and they had a black man. Like, it was just like, oh, it was very interesting. Like, I didn't realize, like, you could have multiple therapists for different things because...
That's smart.
You know what I'm saying? Like, for me, I'm just like... So, when I went to the guy, it was so funny because I was just like... I'm also like you. Like, I don't talk a lot, but when it's time to get counsel...
Yeah.
Oh, I seek counsel.
Mm.
Like, I'll talk to you. Mm-hmm. I'll talk to different people at the Waves. I'll seek counsel from people that I trust.
Yeah.
That I'm like, hey, you've experienced this before. Or you've gone... Or, like, you may know more about this. And everything that they say is not... You just take the wisdom and you take what applies to you and what doesn't. And it helps you see things like, oh, maybe I didn't think about it like that. So I'm very good at being like, help me be better. That's why you people are in my corner.
You are.
That's why
you actually really
that's
are.
That's why you people are my friends. And so when I went to him, I literally was like, all right, so how does this work? I was like, is there a protocol? I was like, is there a questionnaire? Is there like, he was like, well, no, you came to me and, you know, just what's on your mind? Man, I think for like 55 minutes, I was like,
talked.
And then another thing. And then, because, you know, I'm going to talk. Because, again, I spent so much time just being very introspective.
Yeah.
And so he was just, I went from, I said, how does this work? What do you want me to
do? And then
that's really why, you know, I am where I am today. He was like, well, that was a lot. And I was like, so what you got?
Notes.
And so, you know, I, the first times you go, they say, like, go every week for, like, the first month and a half
mm-hmm.
just so that you guys can get a rapport. And then after that, you can go, like, once, like, a month.
Yeah.
Like, you can taper it off.
Yeah.
I know that some therapists, like, have you do a questionnaire.
Yeah.
And I love that, like, when I went to my therapist, and he was just like, all right, well, you know, initially you said that you had this thing, and this thing is no, like, you know, we've kind of solved this problem. Do you want to still keep coming? And I was like, I mean, I don't think I'm perfect. So I think,
Let's talk about childhood.
I was like, I think I should still come. He's like, well, I don't want to make it an efficient experiment. He's like, I want you to come, like, because you want to. Like, he's like, I could for sure find anything, you know, but I want you to come because you want to and you want to, like, go deeper. I was like, well, I for sure, I don't think I'm perfect. And I think that we work quickly to, like, because I'm not, what I am is, like, if there's a problem, I can't unsee it. If there, like, you know what I'm saying? If there's something that needs to be unpacked, I can't be like, let's put up the tape. Put up the tape. Like, let's pretend we need an unpack. Like, I'm like, okay, wait. I'm going to go full throttle into figuring it out and making it so. I don't want nothing keeping me from God's best.
Ooh, I don't want nothing keeping me from God's best.
Including myself.
Ooh, that's
so
it.
So it's just like, let's fix it. Like, I'm.
That's a word.
Let's go to battle.
But here's the thing, though. Like, sometimes it's going to take some time to fix. Some things will take some time to fix.
Some things take...
But you got to see it through, right? That's why the therapy is like... You can't just be going once a year and be like, all right, I'm great. Like, you got to see it through. And again, yes. Like, I know you're saying, like, you've solved that one problem, but our lives are full of all types of micro problems.
And that's why I told him, I was like, because I was like, nah. And so, like, I had talked to other friends who went to therapy, and they were like, no, normally, like, you fill out a questionnaire, and so that, like, even after you solve a problem, like, they're like, okay, well, you also said that this thing... you know, has come up, like, multiple times. Do you want to talk about that? And so she was just like, that's normally how it goes, so that they can address things that may be interrelated or may not be related.
I mean, we have Nigerian parents. Trust me, there's stuff for us to unpack in therapy.
Everything is interrelated.
We have Nigerian parents. Trust me. There's all types of... There's years long of therapy to unpack. Like, it's...
And you have to work to circumvent those things. Like, I think me and Lovie, I think we talked about this on the live show, how, like, you know, certain things like our parents did. It's like, or we try so hard to circumvent certain things that our parents did. So it's like, now when I talk to her, no, me, a homie, go to her for what? Well, mommy, did you tell her why you're upset? Tell her why I'm upset.
Why would I tell her that?
Why would I tell her?
And so you're mad at this person, but you're not going to tell them. These, like, unhealthy communication skills that they want to pass down to us that they have to a certain point.
But and then you have to do the work cycle. Now to be like, this is not helpful. It's not even, this is not normal. This is not helpful.
This
because
is not helpful.
It was normal for them because that's what they saw their parents do. And that's how a lot of Nigerians function. Ah, because me, the elder person, is going to go to her. It's like, no. Yes, because age doesn't necessarily mean...
Correct.
Like wisdom for the, like, forever. It means that, like, hey, maybe, like, in this instance, you might have been wrong.
It's possible. There's, I would say the most interesting thing that my therapist has done for me in terms of, like, a therapy style has been rapid eye movement therapy.
What is a rapid eye movement? Is that why you always look at me so fast?
Yeah, it's to be fascinating. So, I think one day I came, like, just, like, really mad or something had, like, made me upset. And she was like, would you be willing to try something? Typically, we just sit and talk, and she'll ask me questions. So she was like, okay, I'm going to sit to your left. You're going to face me, and I'm going to do my hands back and forth for 20 seconds. Follow my hands. Don't move your head. Mm. And I was like, okay. So she'll be like, okay. And she'll do it for like 30 seconds, and she'll be like, okay, anything you were thinking about, just tell me. And I'll talk for like 30 seconds. She'll be like, okay, let's do it again. And she said she was doing that because... what she was replicating was REM sleep. You know how they say sleep is so important in our lives to help us process stuff? It's because our eyes are moving back and forth when we're in deeper sleep, when we're dreaming, REM. Mm-hmm. That's when our brain processes what happens during the day or in the week. So you can actually replicate that thing in a spot. So she was like, I want you to process this better. So she sat there and did it for me. She was like, your dreams might be more vivid in the next couple of days. Stay, like, keep note of that. It was so fascinating to me. I was like, oh, this is what people think is hypnosis.
Lovie is not here anymore.
Lovie. You, like, clap your hands.
Twice. Touch your belly.
It was so fascinating. I was like, wow. She was like, sometimes you can even replicate it by going for a walk. Because your brain, the left side and your right side of your brain are trying to talk to each other. Mm. And movements like walking or rapid eye movement help you process stuff. Which is why some of you want to go running when something's bothering you.
Oh,
it's actually
definitely.
Because how your brain is processing whatever's bothering you.
I listen to me. I repeat a song. Like, not the same.
The same.
The same line from a song. I seen you move.
Over and over again?
Over and over again. Over and over. And then, because I don't like getting mad. I don't like it, because, like, if I get mad, it'll take me to a very, it'll be
a bad place. Have y'all unpacked that? Have y'all unpacked that piece?
How I don't like getting mad?
Yeah.
No, not yet.
Oh, yeah, y'all need to.
because my thing is, like, for me, feelings are fleeting. So getting mad, sure, it'll help be mad, but, like, and then what? And then what do I do with this madness?
That's
so
interesting.
What? So then you know what? Let me not, because my response is my responsibility.
True.
And so let me take the time to figure out how I'm going to respond. So I will mutter a song.
Over and over again.
Over and over again.
That's interesting.
Or I will take a walk. Because I know, for me, I know if I go to a place, because again, being bullied.
Yeah.
If I lash out and I'm like, I'm going to get revenge.
It's going to be
ugly. There are things that I can't take back. And I want to be sure that when I speak to somebody, I'm speaking to them through eyes of love, faith, and wisdom. Because I want to be in full control of my emotions.
So related, when I get mad, I get quiet. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't say anything. Like, when I'm pissed, I don't say anything because I realize, because my tongue is sharp. Because I've always been the smallest girl. And I've always hated feeling like somebody took advantage of me or cheated me. So my mouth has always been my protector. So I can say some things to hurt.
And we know that.
Right? So when I get mad, I stop talking. Because I'm like, I want to protect you and me. Because if I'm going
to
say something out of, like, anger, I can't take it back.
You can't take it back.
I can't take it back. So I get real, like, mm-hmm. I just be in the corner with a gray cloud over my head. And I just be quiet. And then when I do speak, I speak very slowly. I'm like,
so every word matters.
Every word matters, because I don't want to ruin any relationships from 3 minutes of anger.
And that's why I said I try not to get mad. And that's why, like, I talk to myself so much, because when I didn't have friends, I literally would go into the bathroom mirror and, like, rehearse what it would be like if I had friends.
You did what Issa was doing in Insecure.
I was preparing for my role. I was preparing for Insecure before I knew it. No, I for sure would go to that. Still to this day, I have whole conversations with myself in the mirror, because for me, I'm like, this can go many ways. I could do it, like, if I meet them, all right, what would I say? Okay, what would they say back? Okay. Before I knew I was going to be an actress, I was acting. Because I was acting out, like,
other people's side. And
other people's
roles.
Sides. And then it was just, and so, but my thing is, like, once I got to meet that person, I was already in, like, in a place of comfort and power. Because it's like, I know you, I know how this is going to go, you're probably going to say this, hey, don't be moved if they say this. Prepare yourself for them to say this, and you know that you want to go off should they say it. But you know what? We're not going to do that today, okay? And, like, yeah. And for me, that's how I'm able to, like, be sane, you know, yeah. Because it helps me really process. And it also, because, again, I say feelings are fleeting. Feelings are not facts. You have to master your emotions. Like,
that's part of adulting.
That is part of adulting. Yeah. And it's not saying that, like, I'll never share, like, hey, you know what? I was kind of hurt by that.
Yeah.
Or, you know what? Like, but sometimes, here's what I also do. Once I've processed it, I realize, like, what does this situation really mean in the grand scheme of my life? What is this situation that feels so big really actually mean?
What is the perspective that I need to get from this? Is this really that big of a deal?
Because you know what I can do? Can my life move on? Even if I never address this, can I still move on, see the person, engage them in love, and we don't even need to bring it up, because eventually some people will just rule themselves out of your life.
That's real.
So you know what? I will see you, I will love you, and you will never know.
Yeah, no, that's
huge. And because everything doesn't need to be like, and they're going to get a piece of my mind. No. Everybody.
That definitely comes with being grown, because I recently had to let go of somebody who dropped the ball so bad. And a part of me, I had my HR person write out to them, like, their termination letter. Mm-hmm. And I wanted to write my own letter to them that I was like, I need you to do better for the next person. On some, like, black girl to black girl thing. But then the grown-up part of me was like, you know, some lessons you don't actually need to teach people.
And what I remember my friend and roommate said to me, she said, because I'm super introspective. She said, hey, you know, a good trait about you is that you really believe for people.
The good, yeah.
And in people.
Yep.
She said, but where it gets you off is that sometimes you believe more for people.
Than they believe in for themselves.
Than they believe for themselves. Ooh. And when she said it, I was like,
yeah.
I do. Yep. Because I'm like, because I've been there when it's just like, yo, just see the other side. Like, I know it's uncomfortable. And I know right now it's jarring. And I know right now it feels like it's gangster. But, like, please believe me. Like, I've been where you are. Just do the work and just get to the other side. And it's just like, and I want it for you so bad, but I can't do it for you. And it's so frustrating. And she was like, when it gets so frustrating for you,
walk away.
You can't let that, because the reality is that's taking your creative space away. And time away from your creativity.
I've gotten that same feedback.
And it's like, you can believe for people, but sometimes people just need to hit rock bottom for themselves.
And just let them hit them. And I have a hard time.
Because I don't want anybody to hit rock bottom. I don't want you to.
I'm like, but I have the cheat code for you, but you just threw the cheat code away. You shredded the cheat code. I got it for you.
But you know what? Jesus does the same thing.
Yeah.
Jesus says, hey, I present before you blessings and cursing, life and death. Cheat code, choose life. And people every day
don't. Yeah.
So it's like, if he built in
like, a cheat code
and people aren't using it, we can't be mad. Like, oh, and that's why Diddy again said in 2019, I'm going to just say what?
Okay.
And that's walk what I'm away.
That therapy is a cheat code. That's ultimately what the episode is.
And it's sad because, like, man, I want everybody doing it. Like, love you. Like, this is not just like, I want everybody. It ain't no fun if the homies can't get none.
Yes.
If I don't want to be the only one winning. I want everybody to win, but at the expense of, like, my sanity.
But just the amount of pain and chips that we carry on our shoulders and how it affects everything. I'm talking relationships, business, like the person who's like, I've applied for 50 internships, can't get it. It's because you walked into the interview just being straight like, yeah, I mean, just know it all.
You were already defeated.
You already defeated. Like, and I just wish more people who have the means, because again, I'm very clear that a lot of times therapy is something that's class-based, but there is this website called Open Therapy Collective, mm-hmm. that allows you to search for therapists in your areas who do sliding scales based on your income. Yes. I donate to them every year because I'm like, yes, please, make this more available for people who don't have the money. I know you're like, I'm struggling to pay my rent. Y'all talking about therapy. Listen, there's an app called Talkspace. Do what you can to get yourself more whole. Like, don't feel like things are not available to you unless you've exhausted the possibilities. So hopefully this episode lets you know that, I mean, it's helpful for us.
It is. And it's necessary. And it's normal.
Yes. Normal. Let's make it normal.
Let's make it normal. And the reality is, like, don't let finances or time keep you from it. Because so many things that are beneficial to us, we allow, like, oh, I'll get to that tomorrow. Or, you know what? You know, the kids are really bothering me right now. Or we push it away. We make excuses. We excuse our way to not do it.
Yeah.
And then 6 months from now, you're going to be real upset because you're still where you are. But 6 months earlier, you could have started getting help.
Yeah.
Because my thing is, don't prepare for the storm in the middle of the storm.
Mm. You got to be prepared before the storm comes.
For sure. Because there is a storm coming. God did not say there would not be any storms. He said, I'm with you in the midst of it.
In the midst of the storm.
But you got to be prayed up. You got to be battle tested, battle ready. So this is just one way of, like, you know what? If every time something happened, I called that one friend of mine that was ready to fight, let me see. Did that help any of the situations?
No. How we deal is definitely our thing.
That didn't help. Okay. Let me try something different. Hey, this may not even help.
Maybe,
but try something different.
Try it. Just try it. That's all we're saying is
just try it.
You might be like, therapy's not for me. But make sure it's just the therapist. The therapist might not be for you. Try another therapist. If you are in the middle of your storm, I hope you can find the capacity and the means to go get therapy. And if you need medication, do that too. If you are not in the middle of the storm, hopefully you get therapy to keep you strong when the storm comes. And I think for me, that was my thing. I was like, I need to make sure that I'm always storm ready.
Mm-hmm. And you may go in there and just be like, I really don't know why I'm here. I'm listening to this podcast by these two black girls, and they told me to come. I think I'm all right. I really think I'm Gucci, but here I am.
Here I am.
And just see what comes out of you.
Yeah.
And also, the other thing, for those of you who have been in therapy for 50, 11 years.
And who are still terrible people.
I need you to switch therapists. I need you. No, real talk. Like, stop going. Because it's one thing to be aware.
Yeah.
It's one thing to get information, and it's another thing to not do anything with that or just to keep using it as a crutch. Because really, your therapist should be empowering you to make better decisions.
Yes.
Your therapist should be empowering you to become better.
Yes.
If you keep getting triggered, if you keep getting, like, stuck, I guess what I'm looking for is stuck in a pattern, it's like, whoa, wait. So then what are we actually unpacking? In our session, what are we actually learning from? Like, if after everything happens, you got to be like, oh, I can't deal with this. Let me call my therapist. It's like, wait. Your therapist should be giving you tools or empowering you to provide tools for yourself so that in the midst of something, you can be like, wait, this situation reminds me of this other situation. And applying what I learned, here's how the two are similar and here's how the two are different. Like, you should be able to be a better human being. If your therapist is literally just a person that you can talk smack to, get another therapist.
Listen. And also, yeah, there's some people who've been in therapy for 15 years and still do the same unhealthy habits. Still doing the same exact thing. So why are you there?
So now you got to be like, either you don't really want to change.
Nope.
You don't really want to change. But you want to go through the most. Hey, the Bible said they have a form of godliness, but what? Denying the power thereof. There's some people who have a form of therapy and denying the power thereof. And just, you know what? Take a step back and say, am I at my optimal best after going for X amount of time? And that's maybe something you should do. Like, hey, after 6 months of therapy, I would like to at least be here. There, yeah. You can't put a time limit on it because you have to unpack stuff, but at least you can be like, after 1 year of therapy, I want to at least be kinder.
Yes.
I want to be nicer.
I want to figure out how to handle conflict better. I want to make sure I'm not cutting off friends the first time they don't pick up my phone call. And why I just hold on so tight to people in any proof that shows that people can be trusted. So, you know, some folks will do therapy just because it sounds very trendy right now to be like, yeah, I go to therapy. But it's really about being a better human being, being more whole. And being better means you will show up in the world more. You'll be more successful because of it. Like, I feel like if I didn't have therapy, I would stop being successful because I'd be afraid of what success would bring.
Mm. And also, listen, while we are encouraging you to change the narrative about therapy, if you have very traditional parents... You may not be able to be like, yes, and I went to therapy, because they may not understand. But once you get healed and once you see the benefits of it, for sure, start letting people in your circle know. Because I remember I was talking to a Nigerian girl and she was like, therapy saved her parents' life, her parents' marriage.
Yes.
I was like, wait, and they're Nigerian. They were born in Nigeria. I said, how did they get to even go into therapy? And it was so fascinating for me because I was like, and they went.
and they went.
And they applied what they learned. And now they are still married. Hey, wonder shall never cease.
At all.
But it's just like, you never know the power of literally talking things out.
Talking it out.
And then I know other people who are like, a therapist will never like come into my marriage because like, no one needs to have like a third party in there. It's like, oh, that's
how
not
about
it.
This? If it's dirty laundry, therapy will clean it up for you.
On that note, we are done, ladies and gentlemen. There's nowhere else. Therapy is tied with bleach.
You bleach.
Therapy is tied with bleach.
Tied with bleach. Come on, do it. With dry ass sheets so it's not staticky.
And it's come out smelling like gain.
Yes.
Yes.
Smelling fresh.
Well, we can't wait to hear how you all have processed your process. Mm-hmm. And, you know, write us, tell us, you know, if you went to therapy. Again, there are places where you can get therapy off. And if even if they want to diagnose you with something, it, like, tell them to diagnose you with the most basic thing. It'll only be on your record. Again, it's not like...
I mean, nobody can really pull up your...
Yeah.
Their, you know what I mean? So, again, I think the website for you to check out is Open Therapy Collective. Just Google that. You'll find their database so you can pull up and be like, yo, I don't have any money, but you can probably find a therapist, even if you're paying $20 a session, right?
Yeah. Real talk. Just something.
Something.
I know this is probably like heavy. They're like, wow, this Jesus and Jesus adulting episodes. I mean, what happened to the lightness of season one?
Adulting is not that light.
adulting is heavy, but like, we're trying to help you in the process. We're trying to give you the cheat codes. Like, this is, we're still the same foolish goats, and we're learning and thriving and failing along with you guys.
Yes.
So whatever we learn, we're passing it along to you, and you guys may have more information, so pass that along to us.
Yes.
We're just trying to do this thing called life together.
Doing this thing called life, growing up. So our email is jesusandjaloff@gmail.com. Y'all go ahead, send us some messages. Let us know if you have other resources that people should know about with therapy and counseling and all that stuff. And remember that you are not, there's nothing wrong with you because you choose to go to therapy. And even if there is something wrong with you, you're trying to fix it.
And be a better human being.
Correct.
So, and that's what the world needs now. Just better human being. Because
that's really, it.
If there's something wrong with you now, by the end of the year, you know what won't be wrong with you? That thing.
Hopefully, in Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name, with the help of professionals.
Yes.
Licensed professionals.
Yes.
Okay? Not just your friends, not just your pastors, not just your mom, not just prayer. Like, you can go to a licensed professional, and they can help you work on getting your life together.
And again, all of these things are tools in your toolbox. You're adding to it. So if you're going to church, keep going to church. Add therapy. If you're praying, keep praying. Add therapy. If you have really good friends that are really good at unpacking stuff, great. Add therapy. Like, it's all part of the toolbox.
We need all of it, y'all. So, appreciate you, the Jaloff Warriors.
Jesus is a Jaloff. Jesus is a Jaloff. Imagine if DMX got therapy. Did he do a Yelena Van Zandt try to fix his life?
Yo, did he do one?
Yeah, I never watched the episode because I didn't want to see him like that.
I heard it was kind of painful.
Yeah, I wanted to imagine him differently. my Earl Simmons, I wanted to see Dark Man X in a different light. So I never actually watched it.
I didn't either, but I heard it was it was hard to watch.
God bless it.
God bless it.
But
okay.
He's out now, and he's working on a new album.
And hopefully he's working on being a better person.
You know what? Because that's, you know what that is?
Growth. Bye, y'all.
Goodbye.